Now let's read John 3:16 again. Listen to it. You say, I know it from memory. Listen while we read it. For God so loved the world of believers, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let's read this same text from the Amplified New Testament. Listen closely. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, so that whoever believes in, that is, trust, clings to, relies on him, may not perish, that is, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal or everlasting life. I read to you this version to bring to your attention what the word believe means. It is not a faith or a belief in a fact or a feeling or an experience or a dream or some emotions or some set of rules or doctrine, not even a belief in the Scriptures or the Bible. It is a belief or faith in him, Christ. And so the word believe means to trust or cling to or rely on. And the object is a person, and that person is Christ. Now that's the reason we go astray on this great gem of God's word, is because we fail to realize that the object of our faith is a person. That person is Christ. Now let's look at that word, whosoever. It means anyone. So it could read like this: anyone who trusts in Christ or clings to Christ or relies on Christ never perishes, is never lost, never comes to destruction, but has eternal life. It does not say here, whosoever will, but anyone who believes in Christ or relies on Christ or clings to Christ. It doesn't say whoever believes in feelings or feel like he's saved. It doesn't say whosoever believes in an experience or has an experience. It doesn't say whoever believes in certain doctrines. It doesn't say whoever believes in the church or is a member of the church or is baptized or whoever keeps the Sabbath or who lives the best he can. The Scripture here states a positive, definite, absolute fact, and that is that anyone who trusts in or relies on or clings to Christ is saved. Salvation is believing or clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And as some old divine has said, if there is one has breadth of works in any form in your so-called salvation, you're not saved, but you're lost. Therefore, salvation is the Lord. Now you face this fact, my friend. Are you clinging to Christ, only to Christ? Are you relying only on Christ? Now, why is it that you do not trust Christ? You can trust a feeling or believe a feeling because it's tangible. You can believe an experience of some type that you've had because that is a living reality. You can believe in a fact that Christ is a historical character. You may believe that he's the Son of God, but you have never come to cling to him and rely upon him wholly and completely as your Lord and your Savior. You can believe some promise as a historical fact. You can believe the Bible is the Word of God based upon what others have told you, but that is not salvation. Salvation is believing Christ and him alone. Any sinner who clings to Christ relies upon Christ cannot go to hell. Never. Listen. You listen, will you? Now, the reason that you do not believe him is because you cannot. Now, it may stop you, but listen. And the reason you cannot is that your will is held in bondage by the power of your depraved nature and depraved affections which control your will. As we said, the first thing in this great text that we find is that God is sovereign in his love. And the reason for it is because he is God, and because man is totally depraved and is enmity against God and not subject to the law of God and cannot be. According to Romans 8:7, Christ explains this great fact in John 3:19, after he says in the 18th verse that man is condemned, listen, for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name only. Then in the 19th verse he says that the basis of this judgment or indictment or the ground for this sentence of death lies in this fact, get it now, that the light, which is Christ, is come into the world, and you love darkness or sin rather than or more than you love light, Christ, for your works or deeds are evil. We might go further and say you don't even love the light. There is no love in your heart for Christ. Neither has, never has been, never will be, until God plants it there by his Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. Christ goes on to say in that 20th verse, every sinner hates or loathes or detests Christ and will not come unto Christ, lest his whole inner life is exposed and he is convicted of his wrongdoings. By nature, you won't come to Christ. By nature, you don't want Christ. By nature, you hate Christ. By nature, you're going away from Christ. Now, those are facts that every sinner's got to face. Another question arises. Why won't man come to Christ? Why won't man trust Christ? The soul of every individual is possessed with three great powers. First, the intellect, or the power of seeing or knowing. Second, the power of affection or feeling. And third, the power of volition or the will. Then when we study fallen man closely, listen now, we find that the will of every man by nature is not independent, but is dependent upon his affections and his intellect. Therefore, man is a free agent, but does not have a free will. Man is responsible, but does not have the power to choose independent of his affections or his fallen nature. We might say that man is free, but his will is not free. Man has a liberty or a freedom from coercion, but he does not have the power from within to make the choice. So there is a vast distinction between a man as a free agent and a man having a free will. Now, I wish I could repeat that if I had time. Let's go ahead. Man is a free agent because he does as he pleases, always as he pleases, and only as he pleases, and is therefore responsible. But on the other hand, man has not a free will because all the faculties of man's inner being are so interwoven and bound together that his judgment moves his desires, and his desires moves his will. The reason he does not will to come to Christ is because his judgment is twisted, his understanding is darkened, his mind is blinded. Therefore, get it now, he does not know the facts in the case. Now, since his judgments and desires and affections are depraved, he does not want to know the facts in the case. And left to himself, he never will. No man can believe on Christ until he knows him. Now you let that soak in. No sinner can believe Christ until he knows him. Then by man's own intellect or knowledge, he can never know God and the Lord Jesus Christ. By wisdom, the world knows not God. Apart from the grace of God, you cannot find Christ. As we said, man does as he pleases, but his will binds him and carries him downward. And man cannot reverse his fallen nature. Man cannot renew his own will. Man cannot change his own heart. Neither can man regenerate or make anew his old fallen nature. So man is free as far as the outside forces are concerned, but his will is bound by his old nature, which is enmity toward God, and he cannot please God. Therefore, man is free to sin, but man is free from holiness, and man is helpless toward God. Therefore, man will not come to God, because it is not in him the will to come to God. His whole fallen nature is turned into a direction from God, and man cannot come to God because his heart is darkened and deceived. And man can no more turn to God than a dead man can rise from the grave. So God and God alone, by his sovereign grace, can call sinners to life, put a new nature in them, and release their depraved wills from the power of their old fallen nature and turn them toward Christ. So we have to come to the one conclusion that man's will is in bondage. And even though he is a free moral agent, he has no free will. Now, brother, that's a stated fact. Now, let's come back to our text. Whosoever believeth in him, the word whosoever is completely dependent upon the sovereign grace of God to believe in Christ. As we said before, you can believe in an individual, you must know him. Before you can trust Christ and rely upon him or cling to him, you must know Christ. Therefore, it brings us back to this one great fact, that fallen man, in his natural state, apart from the power of God, cannot know Christ. Because first, he's a dead sinner, dead in trespasses and in sins. How can a dead sinner know Christ and know his sins? Second, he is alienated or separated from the life that is in God. Then the individual who has no spiritual life in him does not know Christ and has no desire to know Christ. Then in the third place, man's entire being is depraved. Therefore, he has no righteousness, no understanding or knowledge of God. He does not seek after God. He's going away from God. He has no natural goodness. The way of peace he is not known. There is no fear of God before his eyes. His mouth is full of cursing. His throat is an open sepulcher. His heart is deceitful, incurably wicked. His righteousness is as filthy rags. He is in open rebellion against God. There is no love of God in his heart. He is without strength, and therefore he has no power to come to the Son except the Father draw him. His carnal mind is enmity against God. He has no power to do good. Therefore, he wills not to repent. And within himself, he cannot come to Christ. Now, those are great facts. So we see that the bondage of the sinner's will is definitely set forth in the Scriptures, and that it is one of the great doctrines of the Scriptures. It is also one of the great doctrines of God's Word, that it is set forth in a very positive way. Now let's see how. The necessity of regeneration implies the bondage of the will. Now you listen. An individual is born into the world without his own volition. In like manner, he is born into the kingdom of God without his volition. If we say this statement is not true, we deny the new birth. Free will has nothing to do with a new birth. The Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. This carries us back to the first creation. Man had nothing to do with God creating man. Therefore, the new creation is of God. Now the Scripture calls this new creation by such expressions as Christ in you, or born of the Spirit, or quickened by the Spirit, or passed from death unto life. Call it whatever you may. It is the Lord God of heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit, taking a poor fallen sinner and making a new man out of him. This he does by the word of God. This brings us back to our text. Whosoever believeth in him. We know from the Scriptures that faith is a gift of God. And an individual always takes a gift from the outside. So faith is the stream or channel of divine life and is all a gift from the Lord God of heaven. The Scripture says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So it is the resurrection power of the Lord God of heaven, exercised by the sovereign God, that raises a dead sinner to life in Christ. And when he makes a new creation out of that individual, he has the power to believe, or to cling to, or to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone as his Lord and Savior. So then we can say without fear of contradiction, based entirely upon God's eternal word, that whosoever believeth in him is conditioned entirely upon the basis of God's sovereign love. Therefore, as man has no power to make a choice, God has to make the choice for him. So you see, free will has no place in regeneration as man has no free will. Now, brother, that's cut right down across the grain, isn't it? Let's take an illustration found in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, where he sets forth the vision of the dry bones. The Scripture says they were bare dry with no flesh on them. The Lord God asked Ezekiel the question, Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? Free will would have jumped up and cried, surely they can live. Give me the Bible in 10 minutes, I can lead any soul to Christ. But listen to the word of God. Old Ezekiel said, O Lord God, thou knowest. Then said the Lord God unto these dry bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. The trouble is free will. Get it now? I'll make a staggering statement here, listen. The trouble is free will does not hear the word of God. Free will cannot hear the word of God, and free will not hear the word of God. Now let me give you another illustration. The resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus represents a sinner dead in trespasses and sins. His sister said, Master, he's been dead 4 days, and behold, he stinketh. Free will said he can raise himself from the dead. But it was only when the Lord Jesus Christ cried with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth, that Lazarus came forth. It is only when God the Holy Spirit speaks to that sinner's heart and says, live, that he comes forth from the grave of corruption and is made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you these questions. Can a blind man make himself see? Can a deaf man unstop his ears to hear? Can a dumb man make his lips to speak? Free will says he can, but the word of God said it's only by the power of God that salvation is of the Lord. Let me go a step further and make this statement, that every doctrine of God's word hangs upon and confirms the total depravity of fallen man. And as I've often said, if you do not understand the condition of fallen man, you do not and cannot rightly understand any other doctrine of God's word. Let me ask you another question. What is election but God choosing because we cannot choose? What is the new birth but God making alive the dead sinner who cannot even stir? What is perseverance but God carrying on the work in the heart of whoever believeth in him which he hath begun? So do you see, my friend, how multitudes of people have taken this great gem of the Scriptures and dragged it in the dust of free willism until they have destroyed the meaning of it and all but made it a laughing stock and prejudiced the minds of people against it. If you view closer the picture that we have given you of fallen man, then it is sheer nonsense to stand before that individual and tell him to believe in Christ when he has no knowledge of himself and no knowledge of Christ. Salvation is based first upon the knowledge of sin. A sinner comes to know himself and how blinded, how stupid he is, and how ignorant he is, only by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit in his heart and life, making him a new creature in Christ. The Holy Spirit cannot and will not bring him to a saving knowledge of Christ, get it now, until first he has brought him to a certain and definite knowledge of himself. When the Holy Spirit has brought that sinner to a definite knowledge of himself, and he comes to see what a sinner he is, which can only be done by the power of God, then and only then can the Holy Spirit show him who Christ is. Then that individual who's come to the definite knowledge of himself as a lost, ruined, ill-deserving sinner, and sees that he has no righteousness or goodness of his own, sees that left to himself, he could not come to Christ. So we see that it is only the Holy Spirit's work in the heart of a sinner to give him that knowledge of his utter helplessness, his right view of sin and its power, the knowledge of his unbelief, the knowledge that he is a son of Satan and is held captive by Satan, and that free will do him no good. It is the further work of the Holy Spirit to show that sinner that Christ died for such a sinner as he is, and that God's sovereign love has elected him as an object of mercy and put a cry in his heart after Christ. It is this prayer that God has put in his heart that God answers. Then comes to his heart and mind that great command, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Praise the Lord. Praise his holy name. To that sinner that's been raised from death into Christ, comes the great command, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Praise the Lord. This is where the sinner cries out, Lord, I can't believe. Help thou my unbelief. The sinner's one cry is, Lord, don't leave me. Don't forsake me. Save me, Lord, or I perish. Give me faith to lay hold of you. He realizes his weakness. He realizes his utter helplessness. The Holy Spirit slowly but surely tears him loose and separates him completely from all creature faith and takes all of the gods from before him and leaves him standing, as it were, before a sovereign God, guilty, condemned to die, unable to believe, with only one plea that Christ died, and he died for me. It is there, with all hope gone, that the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to that sinner's heart, and by faith the Holy Spirit places in that sinner's heart, according to Acts 18:27, the sinner's faith. Then he becomes one of whosoever that believeth in him. Isn't that clear? Huh? Then he becomes one of whosoever that believeth in him. Now, brother, there's no such a thing as salvation in you walking down the aisle and giving the preacher your hand. There's no such a thing as salvation by making a mental assent to Christ. There's no such thing taught in God's Word that you can believe historically that Jesus is the Son of God and be saved. It is only when the Holy Spirit has stripped you of everything in the world and showed you what you are by nature, who you are by nature and the judgment you're under, and then showed you Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is only then that you can believe him. You can't believe him until you know him. You can't know him until he's revealed to your heart as your Lord and your Savior by the Holy Spirit. Now that's the salvation that I have. That's the salvation the Bible teaches. That's the salvation you must have or go to hell. God help you.